The former general and Jedi Master might have looked and smelled like a brain-dead derelict, but Juno soon learned that even in his much-reduced state, he possessed resources she could only marvel at. First, he had survived a duel with Starkiller. Second, he had somehow crossed halfway around the galaxy without the use of his eyes. Third, he knew codes and ciphers she had no hope of slicing. For an hour after the refueling stop at Cloud City, he had sat behind her in the jump seat, tapping madly into a keyboard, and sending rapid-fire messages to unknown destinations. Every now and then, she'd glance back and tried to read surreptitiously. All she saw on the screen, however, was gibberish, the sound coming out of the earpiece she had loaned him likewise. Whatever he was talking about, he was keeping it very much to himself. "Can I help?" she'd finally asked him.
"No."
He had leaned back into the seat and pushed the keyboard away.
"It's done."
"You spoke to your friend?" Starkiller had asked, leaning in close from the co-pilot seat. Coda neither confirmed nor denied anything, given the choice.
"Our destination is Kashyyyk," was all he had said.
"The Wookiee homeworld?"
Juno had felt a sinking in her gut.
"That's under Imperial rule now, isn't it?"
Coda had nodded.
"It'll be dangerous."
The old man had smiled at that, with no humor at all.
"The entire galaxy is dangerous when you make an enemy of the Emperor."
He had waved away any further questions.
"Don't bother me now. I'm tired, and I have a headache."
Reclining the seat, he had put his hands behind his head, and almost immediately begun to snore. Starkiller had shrugged and told her that he was going back to the meditation chamber to prepare for whatever would come next. And now she sat with Proxy beside her in the co-pilot seat, wondering how she could prepare for something when she had no idea what it might be. The warped perspectives of hyperspace slid rapidly by, simultaneously comforting and disconcerting. Familiar it might be to look at, but that environment was one explicitly hostile to human life. So was life on the run. Coda looked about as reliable as a drowned Wookiee. He and his mysterious contact could be leading them right into a trap. Proxy suddenly stirred. The droid unfolded from his seat and headed aft. The sound of his metal footsteps led to the meditation chamber. The hatch slid open, and Proxy went inside. She hesitated a moment, then opened the screen that enabled her to spy on the activities within. In the deep gloom of the chamber, Starkiller knelt with his eyes closed and his back to the door, which her viewpoint covered. The faint shape of Proxy glowed all over for a second, morphing into a new shape. When the transformation was complete, he stood some centimeters taller and broader than before, with a beard and long hair, and wearing the standard robes of a Jedi Knight. The new expression he wore was one of determined solemnity. Starkiller opened his eyes but didn't move until Proxy had activated a bright green lightsaber and raised it vertically in a balanced two-handed pose on the right side of his body. Then Starkiller was up and defending himself so quickly that Juno had hardly seen him move. Proxy rained blows upon him with a speed and athleticism belying his construction. Spinning, tumbling, and cartwheeling all across the room, he was constantly on the offensive, employing swings that were both fast and powerful. Starkiller had his hands full, deflecting them all. In the flickering light, she saw sweat standing out on his forehead. The end came suddenly, with the green lightsaber stabbing deep into the belly of the unknown Jedi. Starkiller withdrew the blade and stepped backward. The other lightsaber deactivated and fell with a thunk to the metal floor. Starkiller's virtual opponent crumpled forward and had returned to Proxy's usual form before he hit the ground.
"I failed again," came the muffled voice of the droid. "I'm sorry, Master."
"It's not your fault, Proxy."
Starkiller extended a hand and hauled the droid to his feet. "A Taru doesn't work properly without the Force."
"Thank you, Master. Perhaps I will succeed next time."
Together, they left the chamber. Juno switched off the screen and turned to be ready for them when they emerged into the cockpit. She jumped when she saw Coda sitting up in his chair.
"I was beginning to worry that you died in your sleep," she said.
the corners of his lips pulled down.
I wish I had.
Starkiller entered with Proxy in tow.
Are we close? He asked, taking the co-pilot's chair and turning toward her.
She checked the instruments. We'll be arriving any second now.
Right on cue, the view blurred and shifted into the more familiar starscape of the galactic backdrop. Kashyyyk was a patchwork sphere in green and blue, hanging off the starboard bow. It was a beautiful world, but she could tell that it had seen hard times. The scars of orbital bombardment were still visible, years after they had been inflicted.